The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jory Slodke for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Discover. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the January-February 2025 issue. We begin with our cover story, The Year in Science. Join us as we review the scientific breakthroughs and findings that made news and even history in 2024. For a while in 2024, our collective gaze was drawn skyward to view an eclipse or witness intense and far-reaching auroras. Meanwhile, other events unfolded across science. A pig kidney was transplanted into a living human for the first time. Climate experts warned of rising sea levels impacting coastal cities. AI continued to grow as researchers paired it with gene editing. The list goes on, and it always will. Turn the page to marvel at the latest discoveries and wonders of the year. The Dazzling Sun of 2024. From totality to tremendous light shows, our sun put on a shining performance. The sun had a big year in 2024. First, April brought a total solar eclipse that provided a wide swath of the continental U.S. with nearly 4 minutes of hushed totality. It also gave sun gazers a chance to observe the outer layers of the sun's atmosphere, which are normally obscured. Then, on May 10th through 11th, the aurora borealis seemed to appear everywhere all at once. Reports came from North Texas, Arizona, even Alabama, Florida, and Tennessee, nearly the entire U.S., that the night sky had turned green, purple, and pink. In places where the light was almost too faint for the naked eye, it revealed itself in camera photos. Another strong auroral show dazzled on October 10th through 11th. The northern lights rarely extend so far south. May's unusual light show resulted from the largest geomagnetic storm since 2003 to reach Earth's atmosphere. A geomagnetic storm begins when the sun releases a blob of high-energy ions and electrons, called a coronal mass ejection, or CME, in Earth's direction. Earth's protective geomagnetic field deflects most of such blasts. During strong events like the one in May, though, those energetic particles interact with the magnetic field and gases in the atmosphere, producing the auroras. The sun also released bright flashes of light, called solar flares. These can accompany CMEs, but are separate phenomena. Solar flares travel at the speed of light, reaching Earth in 8 minutes. CMEs take a few days. In 1859, the most powerful geomagnetic storm in recent history, called the Carrington Event, blasted Earth. Witnesses reported that the storm disrupted telegraph lines, ignited telegraph paper, and even shocked operators. Today, such an event could do far greater damage than small fires and a few zaps. Geomagnetic storms can threaten communication satellites, navigation systems, the electric grid, and more. On Halloween 2003, for instance, a powerful storm destroyed a satellite and disrupted GPS systems used for airlines, deep-sea drilling, and other applications. The storm that struck in May, although not as strong as the Carrington event, was rated a G5, the most severe rating, by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. While people admired the auroras, space weather scientists breathed a sigh of relief. Even though there were a lot of effects, we're unaware of a lot of really bad impacts, says Sean Dahl, a space weather forecaster at NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado. This was the most successfully mitigated extreme space weather storm in history. "We're better prepared than we were in the past," says Dahl. "Scientists use satellites to track changes in the sun's temperatures and magnetometers around the world to look for magnetic field fluctuations. We can forecast a lot of these events up to 3 days in advance," he says. In May, NOAA issued a warning 6 hours in advance, giving grid operators time to prepare and airline companies time to redirect flights to safer routes. In the future, he hopes to have a wider warning system to alert farmers using GPS for seeding and spraying, for example. There's plenty to look forward to, too. In March 2025, NOAA plans to launch a satellite for solar weather prediction. And NASA announced in October that the sun had reached solar maximum for its 11-year cycle. The level of activity could continue for another year, which could mean more CMEs, more flares, and more aurora borealis shining down in Dallas. Stay tuned. New view on the black hole at the galaxy's center. Stunning image shows magnetic fields encircle Sagittarius A. In March, astronomers unveiled a historic new image of Sagittarius A, the supermassive black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. The image, which was captured by the Event Horizon Telescope, or EHT, collaboration using polarized light, shows for the first time strikingly ordered magnetic fields swirling around the black hole, which lies approximately 27,000 light-years away. The spiral structure of those magnetic fields closely resembles something seen in a 2021 image, also captured by the EHT, circling the edge of the much bigger black hole at the heart of elliptical galaxy M87. Previous studies of M87 suggest the magnetic fields help the black hole, a behemoth with 1,500 times the mass of our own, blast high radiation jets into space. The researchers were surprised to see similar magnetic fields around Sagittarius A, says Sarah Isoun, an astronomer with the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics and a member of the EHT. "It has a very magnetized accretion flow, so the gas around it is really, really magnetic, and we didn't expect that," says Isoun. "It may also be able to launch a jet, but one that we've never seen. The similarity between the two black holes," she says, "suggests that magnetic field-powered jets may be a common feature of black holes, but researchers don't yet know for certain." The EHT collaboration is an international network of ground-based radio telescopes that act together as a single Earth-sized viewing device. To produce the image of the magnetic field structure, Isoun says the team had to tease out the signal of polarized light previously collected from observations of Sagittarius A. Research continues. One night in April 2024, the EHT again observed the black hole. Scientists want to learn more about the gas disk around it and to eventually string together images into a kind of black hole movie, Isoun says. "Learning about the center of our galaxy tells us a little bit more about why we're here, that we're part of this big system, and this is what anchors the whole galaxy." On thin ice, climbing global temperatures caused the loss of Venezuela's last glacier in 2024, sounding an alarm for other glacial environments around the world. "It's a tough time to be a glacier. Scientists expected Venezuela's Humboldt Glacier to survive another decade, but in 2024, its rapid melting downgraded it to an ice field, having now shrunk to an area of less than 2 hectares. The demise of the country's last glacier signals a disturbing future ahead for the remaining glaciers around the world. They could be next. We'll lose the last tropical glacier in Asia over the next 2 years or so," says James Kirkham, a chief science advisor at the International Cryosphere Climate Initiative, a network of scientists who study ice ecosystems. Then countries like Germany and Mexico will lose theirs. As the burning of fossil fuels accelerates global temperatures to unprecedented heights, people who rely on fresh water from glaciers must confront new challenges. Mountain glaciers like those found in the Andes provide drinking and irrigation water for people downstream. Communities have depended on these glaciers for thousands of years to live, Kirkham says. All is not lost, though. About 80% of global glaciers, excluding the polar ice sheets, can survive in a low-emission scenario where countries rapidly reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and fossil fuel consumption. However, tropical glaciers, such as those in the northern Andes, East Africa, and Indonesia, would struggle to rebound regardless of how quickly leaders take action. Unfortunately, those in charge aren't yet headed there. World leaders pledged in the 2015 Paris Agreement to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. However, the planet is currently on track to warm by some 3 degrees Celsius, which would melt enough ice to raise seas by nearly 10 feet come 2100. That much water could erase entire island nations like Fiji and Maldives. A group of scientists with UArctic, a network of organizations promoting education and research in the Arctic region, wants to build a 62-mile-long removable underwater curtain to protect a handful of ice sheets in Antarctica and Greenland from the deep, warm waters that erode them. Notably, Kirkham cautions against projects like these. Perhaps this will lead to mitigation deterrence, so taking attention away from what actually needs to be done, he says. We don't see any of these false solutions as a true fix-it-all, but actually as a distraction. Without concrete steps to stop further global heating, the ice will keep melting, and more countries will begin to lose their glaciers. The world's glaciers can't afford any more delays. The end of the Atlantic Ocean. Slowly but surely, the Atlantic Ocean has started to close. Recent research shows how this will occur over millions of years as oceanic crust gets forced into the Earth's mantle. All things must end, even something as seemingly constant as an ocean. When the supercontinent Pangaea began to break up over 175 million years ago, the Atlantic Ocean was born. The spreading of the ocean is still evident with volcanic eruptions in Iceland, which sits astride the mid-Atlantic ridge. But researchers are now seeing hints at the ocean's ultimate demise. In fact, an invasion from the Mediterranean Sea might be the phenomenon that marks the beginning of the end. Oceans open due to tectonic plates breaking and moving away from each other. However, they eventually close due to subduction, the process by which pieces of Earth's crust get shoved back into the planet's ductal mantle. Oceanic crust is cold and dense compared to the mantle, causing it to sink through and potentially end up at the boundary between the mantle and the core, thousands of miles down. The friction caused by this subduction produces earthquakes, while the interaction between fluids from the slab that is getting sucked down and the mantle above it creates volcanoes. Let subduction run long enough and two continents will collide as all the ocean crust between them is subducted, closing the ocean between them. New research from University of Lisbon geologist João Duarte and colleagues, published last year in Geology, suggests that a subduction zone is invading the Atlantic Ocean. Duarte and his colleagues point to a critical catalyst of this process, the Gibraltar Arc, which they describe as a crescent-shaped trench in the Mediterranean formed as one oceanic plate started to slide under another. In other words, as subduction began. Using combined geophysical and geologic age data, they created a model where this Gibraltar arc moves slowly into the Atlantic Ocean from the Straits of Gibraltar out of the Mediterranean Sea. They point to a trench located at the mouth of the Mediterranean Sea as evidence that a slice of Atlantic Ocean crust is being thrust downward to the east, the first sign that oceanic crust is disappearing back into the mantle on the east side of the Atlantic Ocean. Like an advancing army, the Gibraltar Arc is marching westward from the south, from the mouth of the Mediterranean, according to Duarte and his colleagues. On the west side of the ocean, subduction zones in the eastern Caribbean and south of South America are already heading in from the west. These forces are consuming oceanic crust on the western edge of the Atlantic. Subduction invasion is a new mechanism to facilitate subduction initiation, says Brandon Shuck, a geophysicist from Columbia University who was not involved in the study. It aligns with findings from other recent studies on the topic, suggesting that, somewhat ironically, existing subduction zones are the main driver of nearby subduction initiation. The combined impact of the invasion of the modern Atlantic basin by these subduction zones on the east and west will eventually spell its doom. Subduction is potentially occurring on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean, signaling the beginning of its eventual closure when North America and South America collide with Eurasia and Africa in the distant future. It might take another 250 million years, but east and west will collide again, likely producing the next supercontinent, Pangaea Ultima, at the expense of the Atlantic Ocean. Gene editing gets an AI boost. A new editor based on CRISPR is a scientific moonshot for this startup. Large language models, or LLMs, like the artificial intelligence, or AI, behind ChatGPT, can wield and comprehend human languages with remarkable fluency. Those abilities might also allow the technology to write in a very different and potentially more profound language, the letters of life itself. Berkeley, California-based startup ProFluent is developing AI models based on the same fundamental concepts as ChatGPT. But rather than combing through repositories of language, these models are trained on datasets of proteins, biological molecules that do everything from break down food to spool up our DNA. One of the startup's first AI-designed proteins powers a brand new version of CRISPR, the bacteria-derived gene editors that have revolutionized genomics. CRISPR proteins act like tiny bits of machinery that can snip apart the double helix of DNA and insert new sequences, changing the genome in targeted ways. That allows scientists to fix mutations that cause inherited diseases like sickle cell, among other things. While it's not the first working protein made by an AI, it is the first fully functioning CRISPR-based gene editor designed by a computer, the company says. It's a first step towards creating bespoke versions of CRISPR that might remedy issues with current gene editors, like the off-target editing that can create damaging mutations and perhaps even surpass the natural version's capabilities entirely. ProFluent CEO and co-founder Ali Madani says there's a surprising amount of overlap between the two ways that an AI learns to speak English and the ways it learns to understand complex molecules like proteins. Through simple, elegant games, such as predicting the next word in a sentence, he says, the AI model will learn that these underlying patterns exist within the data. Feed an AI through sentences, and it will soon be chatting with eerie proficiency. Similarly, give an AI millions of the DNA sequences, something now possible thanks to cheap sequencing technology, and it has the potential to begin spitting out blueprints for new proteins. Instead of next word prediction, we're doing next amino acid prediction, Madani says. In April, the company published a paper in the non-peer-reviewed BioRxiv, describing their AI-made gene editor, OpenCRISPR-1. It was truly like a scientific moonshot for us, Madani says. The new version of the gene editing system can edit human DNA with comparable levels of efficiency to existing CRISPR gene editors, the company says, and causes fewer off-target edits. It's already being used in labs around the world, Madani says. Profluent made the gene editor open source to allow researchers around the world to use it, a practice common in software development, but not in the biotechnology world, where profits are often driven by new molecular creations. The company emphasizes their gene editor is for ethical use only, even as some scientists voice concerns about the potential for misuse in the wrong hands. What's more, Profluent hasn't decided yet whether it will make future gene editors open access, like OpenCRISPR 1. Protein language models like Profluence have proven to be extremely powerful, says Bassem El-Shayeb, a microbiologist at the University of California, Berkeley, who studies gene editing systems. Though most work in the field has centered on simply ensuring that the models can actually make functioning proteins with the right datasets, such AI tools could move beyond mimicking nature to creating completely synthetic proteins with abilities custom designed for specific tasks. Profluent's first gene editor is a step in that direction and heralds the field's promise, though Al-Shayeb says that he thinks it's likely OpenCRISPR 1 may simply be recreating something already in nature, but not yet found. The world is vast, and we've barely scratched the surface in exploring the protein diversity that exists in nature, he says. Nevertheless, future designs from Profluent and others wielding the abilities of protein language models will likely move far beyond what we see today. Brand new proteins, designed from scratch to make new gene editors, customized enzymes, and more, are on the horizon. Newfound immune cells are key to long-lasting allergies. Scientists have long sought to understand why allergies linger in our bodies. A new discovery points the way towards improved treatments. For decades, scientists have struggled to unlock one of the biggest enigmas behind allergies: why they don't just go away. How they get started has long been understood. The immune system mistakenly overreacts to a harmless substance, producing antibodies known as immunoglobulin E, or IgE. Those antibodies signal immune cells to attack the supposed invader with inflammatory chemicals, resulting in symptoms ranging from mild sniffles to potentially deadly anaphylactic shock. But how does the body remember what it's allergic to so that it produces IgE whenever exposure reoccurs? In February, two groups of researchers revealed the keeper of that crucial data, a previously undetected type of memory B cell. Ordinary memory B cells produce IgG antibodies, which help the immune system recognize antigens such as bacteria and viruses. Although previous studies suggested that a subset of memory B cells could switch to churning out IgE, normally deployed to mark parasitic worms for destruction, their precise identity remained unknown. To solve the puzzle, both teams used advanced techniques such as single-cell RNA sequencing, which measures gene expression levels in individual cells. At McMaster University in Ontario, researchers led by immunologist Joshua Koenig scrutinized over 90,000 memory B cells from 15 people, 6 with birch allergies, 4 with dust mite allergies, and 5 with no allergies. The team identified a small cohort of memory B cells, dubbed MBC2s, that make the IgE antibodies and proteins associated with allergic reactions. In another experiment, Koenig and his colleagues collected MBC2s from people with peanut allergies. The cells increased in number and produced IgE antibodies, the researchers found, when those study participants started therapy to desensitize them to peanut allergens. That's direct evidence that these cells are what keeps you allergic, Koenig says. The second team, led by Maria Corrado de Lafayette, an immunologist at New York City's Icahn School of Medicine, determined that similar cells, which her group called type 2 memory B cells, were more plentiful in 58 children allergic to peanuts than in 13 non-allergic kids, Lafayette's team also found that these cells switched from producing IgG to IgE after encountering peanut antigens, confirming their central role in initiating allergic reactions. The results of both studies, published in Science Translational Medicine, point towards new approaches for treating allergies. Current methods rely either on controlled exposure to specific allergens, a laborious process that can itself trigger potentially dangerous allergic reactions, or injections of the immunosuppressant drug omalizumab, which can cause harmful side effects. Drugs aimed at the newfound B cells, experts suggest, could be safer and more effective than those options. The question now is how to push these cells away from producing IgE, explains Northwestern University allergist and immunologist Cecilia Barron. That would allow us to target the underlying cause of the disease rather than just suppressing symptoms. Pickiness is in your youngster's genes. In a paper published in September, scientists found that food fussiness in children and adolescents is primarily a product of genetics, not of parenting. Sizing up the food preferences of identical and fraternal twins, the team learned that identical twins are much more likely to share similar levels of pickiness, indicating the impact of genes on young palates. All told, the findings suggest that the tendency to stick to a small selection of foods is much more tied to nature than nurture in youngsters, as genes account for 74 to 84% of the variation in the trait among those ages 3 to 13. Seismic Swifties. In recent years, Taylor Swift's record-setting Eras Tour has taken the world by storm, literally, as sparks flew at Swift's July 2023 concerts in Seattle. Her fans shook it off so hard that their activity caused tremors as strong as a 2.3 magnitude earthquake. Seismologists say this resulted both from the sheer sound of the concert and Swift's fans' enthusiastic dancing. This trend continued as fans attending Swift's Edinburgh concert in June 2024 danced enough to generate 80 kilowatts of power. This seismic activity was picked up by two monitoring stations, one located almost 4 miles from the venue. Microplastics found in archaeological remains. Microplastics are often seen as a harmful hallmark of modern manufacturing, but in March, scientists announced that these tiny plastic fragments had somehow traveled back in time. A team of archaeologists in England detected microplastics in several artifacts uncovered from nearly 25 feet underground, some of which dated back to the first century CE. The discovery suggests that microplastics could be permanently changing our soil chemistry, making it harder to preserve organic matter beneath the surface. We've run out of time for today's episode of Discover. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jory Slodke, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Discover is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call area code 919-832-5138. That number again is area code 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.